السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الغر الميامين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. منها خلقناكم وفيها نعيدكم ومنها نخرجكم تارة أخرى. عطروا مجالسكم بالصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. Before you embark on any trip in this life, you are asked by your travel agent to carefully review your itinerary. You have to study the details of the trip and make sure that everything is okay. Some of us, we go and buy some maps and travel books and download information about the sites that we're going to visit. We do not embark on a journey which goes to the unknown. But there is one grand departure and final journey where the Quran says it is very vague, ambiguous, mysterious, and even confusing. And that is the journey to the hereafter. Allah says in the Quran, يسألونك عن الروح قل الروح من أمر ربي وما أوتيتم من العلم إلا قليل. They may ask you about this final journey, the details of this journey. What will happen to us? It's a big mystery. Mystery to the philosophers, theologicals, theologians, Muslim jurists. They still remained today. They cannot provide the proper definition of this journey, which is called death. Transferal from this life, from this realm, into another one, which is very vague. But yet, it is very real, it is very definite, and it is very imminent. It will happen to us. There is no exception. Even those who cannot afford vacations and holidays in the summertime, they have to embark on this final journey. Therefore, we have to be prepared for that. What will happen to us? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam provide us with some information, a glimpse of that trip. He says, Al-Qabr. إما روضة من رياض الجنة أو حفرة من حفر النار. In that journey, we have two vacation spots. Either it's called the Garden of Paradise or a pit or a hole of the hellfire. There is no third place. And we decide here. We do the booking. And we get the boarding pass ourselves here. The Prophet says about this new home. About the new home, the Prophet says, مَا رَأَيْتُ مَنْظَرًا إِلَّا وَالْقَبْرُ أَفْضَعُ مِنْهُ. Whenever I see a horrible scene in my life, I would remember that the grave, the qabr, the final resting place, is much more shocking and much more horrible and frightening than that scene. مَا رَأَيْتُ مَنْظَرًا إِلَّا وَالْقَبْرُ أَفْضَعُ مِنْهُ. He can see the grave. When it comes to us, what do we see? A piece of land with a little bit of dust and dirt. But that is not the real picture. When you remove the curtain, you will see the real grave, the real house. Our real mother is this grave, is this earth. مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. Now, we have been originated from it. Now it is hosting us and soon is going to embrace us. يَبْنَ آدَمْ مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ إِلَّا وَالْأَرْضُ تُخَاطِبُكَ وَتَقُولُ أَنْتَ تَمْشِي عَلَى ظَهْرِي وَعَنْ قَلِيلٍ سَتَحِلُّ فِي بَطْنِي. Today, joyfully, we walk on this earth. We step on this dirt. One day we will be dirt ourselves. People will step over us. We have to be prepared. What is the history of this mother, of this new house? How long are you going to stay there? Scientists tell us that the history of this new house is about 4.6 billion years. This is the history of the earth. Scientists tell us that almost 15 billion years ago there was a huge cosmic explosion who rocked the entire universe. Universe before that was clouds and gas. Maybe the Quran refers to this scientific fact in Surah Al-Anbiya when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كَانَتَا رَتْقًا فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. Wouldn't the disbelievers look at the beginning of this creation? How? All the universe were joined together, رَتْقًا, and we clove them asunder. We divided them. Maybe this refers to that explosion which took place 15 billion years ago. And then scientists tell us that 1 billion years after that, all these galaxies came into formation, including our own home, our own galaxy. And then almost 5 billion years ago, the solar system was born. And we are part of the solar system. We are the fifth largest planet in size in the solar system, which has 9 planets. The Earth is the fifth in size and probably the only one with oxygen and water, the necessary ingredients for life. This is our house. This is our home. We will go back to it, to the earth. How long we stay there? Nobody knows. Even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not know. When the man comes to the Prophet and tells him, Ya Rasulallah, mata taqumu as-sa'ah? Tell me about the hour. The hour means the end of this world. The Prophet immediately answers him, وَمَا أَعْدَدْتَ لَهَا. It's not important one, when it's going to come. What is more important is, what did you prepare for it? Are you prepared? Suppose I tell you tomorrow is the day of judgment. Are we prepared for that? This is very important. We have to be prepared. We should not take life for granted since we are youth. Just 3 weeks before I came here in the States, I received a call that a student who just finished his medical school, and you know how tough it is to graduate from medical school. He spent probably 15 years studying. He went with his friends to Colorado for skiing, the skiing season there. And on his way to his, maybe his mother told me this is his first vacation, first holiday after many years. On his way there, he had an accident, a crash. He was thrown out of his cart and he instantly dies. On his way to his vacation after so many years. The last thing he said to his mother, I'm going to have a lot of fun in this trip. This is the reality. We don't know what will happen. We have to be prepared, brothers and sisters. We don't know what happens next day, tomorrow. We know nothing about that. But if we are ready, then at that moment, the final moment of departure, they will open the VIP lounge for us. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. That's the first class lounge. But you need two things. If you prepare these two things here, you will have priority boarding, first class lounge, royal treatment. Two things. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ. They firmly believe in Allah. In everything Allah said. What is the meaning of the believe in Allah? Believing in every sentence, in every commandment, in every injunction that He says. This is number one. Firm belief. Second, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. To practice. Not just the belief, the practice is more important. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا, except we are in constant loss. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات. Faith and a practice. Practicing that faith. Putting that faith into practice on a daily basis. In your attitude, in your akhlaq, in your manner. In your dealing with the people, in your dealing with your parents, with your neighbors, not only with Allah. المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده. The true Muslim today, who is the true Muslim? The one who has the pictures of Mecca and Medina in his house? Is he the one who has long beards and he wears the kufi and the dishtasha and carrying the sibha, worry beads in his hand? The Prophet says the true Muslim is the one that community around him, his family members, his friends, his neighbors are immune of his danger. Immune of his danger. He does not create any danger, any hassle to any person. Even the environment is immune of his danger. المسلم من سلم المسلمون. I'm asked to ask you to just move a few steps forward if you can please. رحم الله من ذكر القائمة من آل محمد. Will you please take your place? Let's continue. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. More powerful salawat, please. Let me tell you something about salawat, and this is Thursday night. Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam says that if you have a load of sins on your shoulder, huge burden, and you have been overburdened by it and you don't know how to erase them very fast and very quickly, then فَلْيُكْثِرْ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ. Then he has to frequently frequently. This is one of the fastest ways to erase your sins. Frequently send peace and prayers upon Prophet Muhammad and his progeny. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So we will go back to this house one day. Our place is reserved. What are the characterizations of the grave? Tonight I decided we speak about the real house and about our final destination. We rarely tend to think about where we are heading next. Life does not give us a chance to sit, to reflect about the future. What will happen to me if the angel of death decided to visit me tonight, tomorrow, on the road, in the house, in the school, in the market? What will happen? We don't get a chance to think about it. This is when we remember Imam Hussein, we try to remember the reality of this life. And Allah says about death, it's a reality. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. Hayawan does not mean animal here. It means the reality. The real life is that one, not this one. So, what are the important features of this new house? Number one, when you want to go and buy a house, certainly you ask the agent to tell you, to inform you about the important features of that house. Number one, this house, we are told in the Quran and the Hadith, is dark, solitude, secluded, and completely isolated. Completely cut off with the rest of the world. إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنُ آدَمَ انْقَطَعَ أَمَلُهُ وَعَمَلُهُ. You are completely secluded from everything and anything around you. This house is dark. There is no electricity. But can we have some electricity, some light? The Quran and the Hadith says, yes, you may have some. Through what? Through the Edison company? I don't know what they call it here in London. They call it Edison in America. How do we apply for that? For some light in the grave. The Prophet says, Salatul Layl. Salatul Layl. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيَنٍ. About the midnight tahajjud and the prayers, Imam al-Sadiq says, for every noble act, for every goodness in this life, Allah mentions the reward here. You know it. Except he left one vague. He did not tell you about the reward. Because it is unlimited. No soul can comprehend that reward. Imam al-Sadiq reads this ayah, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ. Those who regularly perform Salatul Layl. عَسَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. Allah says to the Prophet, the only way to reach the highest altitude is through the tahajjud. وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ. We are young, we are energetic. Do we sleep the whole night? Sometimes there is a football game, soccer game, and I know some people, they stay the whole night awake just to watch that soccer game. Boxing, for instance. He comes the following day, he tells me, Sayyid, I did not sleep the whole night. Were you making money? No, I was not making money. I was watching boxing, Mike Tyson, the whole night. Why we don't spend half an hour, just half an hour, I promise you. Sometimes 20 minutes. Salatul Layl has 11 units. If you cannot do all the 11 units, do the last three. Shaf and Watr. Shaf has 2 units, 2 rak'ah. And Watr has 1. Try to do that after midnight. After midnight, before dawn. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ. You will see the reflection of these prayers on your daily life, on your akhlaq, on your manner, on the way you deal with your mother, on the way you deal with your wife, with your husband, with your neighbor. You will see it. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ. This is here. In the grave, you need that light. And the Prophet tells us that Salatul Layl Nurun fil Qabr brings light into that absolutely dark hole. And then the other thing which eases the fear of that new house is Salat Laylatul Dafn or Salatul Wahsha, when a loved one passes away. His or her brothers and sisters are asked, it is very strongly recommended for them to perform Salatul Wahsha on his behalf. Salatul Wahsha has two nights. On the eve of his departure, when someone dies and he's buried today, for instance, the same night before you go to bed, you may send him the best gift to your friend. That is the best gift. Salatul Wahsha. Salatul Wahsha has only two units. The niyyah is Salatul Wahsha. In the first rak'ah after Surah Al-Hamd, recite Ayatul Kursi. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, until it ends with wahum fiha khalidun. You have to memorize these verses. In the second after Surah Al-Hamd, recite 10 times inna anzalnahu fi laylatul qadr. When you finish the prayers, say, O Allah, I send the reward of this prayers to the soul of my friend, and mention his or her name. Then, what are the other features of this new house? This house is characterized by narrowness, tightness, and closeness. It barely fits your size. Like some airlines here, you know, when you sit on the seat, it barely fits you. This qabr, Imam Ali alayhi salam says about the new house, that it's so tight. وَإِنَّمَا حَظُّ أَحَدِكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ ذَاتَ الطُّولِ وَالْعَرْضِ قَدُّ قَيْدِهِ مُنْعَثِرًا عَلَى خَدِّهِ. The real share of each and every one of you of this vast and extensive land is just a small hole, just according to his size, fits his size only. They would not give you no more inch. Where they put you? They put you on your cheek, on the dust. Do you go to the cemeteries? I want the young guys to go. This is the best museum. Teach us the reality of this life. Go to the cemetery and see the burial process. When they put the cheek, the right cheek, on the dust. They make a pillow and they put the cheek on the dust. مُنْعَفِرًا عَلَى خَدِّهِ. That is the second characterization. Therefore, go and visit the graves. The Prophet ﷺ says, if a person goes to the grave and sits next to his brother's grave and recites Quran, فَيَأْنَسُ الْمَيِّتُ بِهِ, the deceased will find sociability, pleasure, delight when you go and visit him. Don't forget to visit your loved ones. I'm sure each and every person here has a relative, a friend, a brother, a sister who left us. They left us earlier. We're going to join them. We're going to join them. In the prayers of the deceased, Salatul Mayyit, what do we say in the last rak'ah? Allahumma. In the last takbira, we says, فَإِنَّا لَا نَلْبَثُ بَعْدَهُ إِلَّا يَسِيرًا. Our staying here is going to be too short. We're going to join those people. If you have parents, مَنْ زَارَ أَبَوَيْهِ فِي كُلِّ لَيْلَةِ جُمْعَةِ قَبْرَ أَبَوَيْهِ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ ذُنُوبَهُ. Go on like a night tonight. Go to the cemetery and before sunset, after sunset, visit the grave of your parents if you have access to it. I know many of you lost your parents. They are buried somewhere very far. You wish to go there, you cannot visit. But remember them with the Quran. Allah transfers the verses of the Quran and the thawab to the deceased one. They wait there. They are thirsty for your remembrance. For you to just to remember them with a single verse of Fatiha, with a few verses of the Quran. And then what happened next? When we are taken there, the first thing we're going to encounter is a surprise visit. By whom? By two angels. Munkarun wa Nakir. the interrogators questioning us. Munkar wa nakir wa qila lil mu'min mubashshir wa bashir. Munkar wa nakir for the non-believer. Mubashshir wa bashir to the believer. This is why it is so important that we have dictation, talqeen. Dictation means we have it twice. Dictation before death and dictation before burial. Before death, if someone is going through the process of death, you sit next to his head, try to teach him, say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Ali. Remind him of what he is going to face. This is before death. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah." Dakhala al-jannah. If you are able to say it, some people are not able, are chalked up here. They can't say it. They try to say it, they can't. Ask Allah today that, "Oh God, enable me to have this as my last statement in this life. Don't take me away before I say this statement, before I testify in it wholeheartedly. La ilaha illallah. Man kana akhiru kalamihi. La ilaha illallah. Dakhala al-jannah." He will get access to paradise. And then we have a talqeen just before burial. We shake the right shoulder of the dead and we tell him, "Isma' ifham. Ya fulan abla fulan. Oh, the Muhammad, son of Ali, listen. Listen carefully. Understand what I am telling you. إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمَلَكَانِ الْمُقَرَّبَانِ مَبْعُوثَيْنِ مِنْ قِبَلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى." When they are sent to you immediately after burial, they would not allow you to have a rest. Not even half an hour. Immediately after burial. When we are covered in dust, this is the first thing we see. And they start asking you, "Man Rabbuk?" Who is your Lord? Who is your Prophet? Who is your lawful Imam and leader? What is your book? What is your faith? What is your direction of the prayers? Qibla. فَلَا تَخَفْ وَلَا تَحْزَنْ. Do not be hesitant. Do not be confused. And say to them, "Allahu Rabbi Muhammadun Nabi." And then to the rest. Aliyun Imami, we mentioned the names of the Imams there. Al-Islamu Dini, Al-Qur'anu Kitabi, Al-Ka'batu Qiblati. The Prophet, when he buried Fatima bint Asad, the mother of Imam Ali, but also a surrogate mother to the Prophet. The Prophet lost his mother, Amina bint Wahab. He was raised by Fatima bint Asad, who is buried in Baqi' today. He was leading the burial process. He went down into the grave and the companions saw him laying beside the body of Fatima and then covering her with his robe. When he came out, they said to him, "Ya Rasulullah, what did you do there?" He said, "One day I was telling her about death and what will happen to us in the grave, the sadness, the fear." She said, "Wa da'fa, how can I stand this experience?" I said to her, "Don't worry. Today, because I promised her, I laid behind her body, next to her body for a few seconds to take away the fear from her. And I covered her with my robe. And then I listened to the interrogation, the questioning, when the two angels were asking her. She answered about her Lord, about her Prophet, about her book, about her faith. When they asked her about who is your Imam, she could not say my son. So I said to her, Ibnuki, Ibnuki, say confidently, say to them, my son Ali is my Imam. Ibnuki, Ibnuki." And this is before the Imam, before Imam Ali was ordained as an Imam. Before, this is during the time of Rasulullah. Ibnuki, Ibnuki. We have to be prepared. And we cannot give false statements. Here, in the interrogation, we might give some false statements and answers. There, they are carrying an axe with them. And that is the punishment. Can we fool them, the two angels? We can't. We have to say the right answer. In this life, if I am not a believer in the Prophet, in Amir al-Mu'mineen, how can I tell them and fool them and tell them, yes, I do follow Ali ibn Abi Talib? It has to be a true statement. After that, what happens when they leave? When they leave, we come to the fourth thing here in this new house. This is a walkthrough. When you buy a house, the agent comes. The last thing they do before they give you the keys, it's a walkthrough. They show you the bedrooms, the dining room, the family room. This is a walkthrough in this grave. What happens? After that comes adabul qabr, the torment of the grave. And the first thing we experience, and only we have a few survivals, huh? The Prophet says, adabul qabr la yanju minhu illa al-qaleel. Only few who survive. Only few. Only few. The first thing is the crushing and the pressing. Dhaqtul qabr. When the Prophet was burying one of the most important companions, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, who was wounded in the battle of Uhud, then he was brought to Medina. The Prophet himself was nursing him, tending to him. Unfortunately, he died. The Prophet took him to the Baqi' to bury him. Then he was putting the dust on him. His mother was standing. She said, Hani'an laka ya Sa'd al-Jannah. Congratulations, Sa'd. Congratulations, you have received the salvation and paradise. The Prophet raised his head. He said, Ya Ummah Sa'd, la tuhattimi ala Allah al-Jannah. Yet, wait. Inna al-qabra dhammahu dhammatan iltaqat fiha dhulu'uh. Now he's experiencing the crushing, where his loins were joined together, his bones were joined together. Now, you don't see it, I can see it, I can feel it, I can hear it. Then commentators believe that he was not okay with his family. The Prophet says, أكثر عذاب القبر من سوء خلق الرجل. Our bad attitude, our bad temperament with our mothers, our fathers. When we do not appreciate their help for us, when we yell at them, when we disrespect them, when we are any dutiful to them. You go home, you are hungry, your mother has not prepared the food, and you start yelling at her as if she's a servant. You start yelling at your father. Be very careful of your attitude. The consequences will be shown there. Here you might not know what happens. The bad temperament. Su'ul khuluq. The second reason for adabul qabr, the crushing and the squeezing of the qabr, is al-istighfafu bis-salat, the delinquency in the prayers, the negligence of the prayers. When you take it lightly, many people do not wake up for the morning prayers. And you know what Allah says about Salat al-Fajr? Allah mentions all the prayers, but when it comes to Salat al-Fajr, He says, أَقِمَ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ إِلَى غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ. دُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ ظُهْرًا عَصَرْ غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ مَغْرِبًا عِشَاءً. Then listen to what He says about dawn. وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا. Don't miss these prayers. People, you live in London here. The dawn is about 6:30 here. You have no excuse not to wake up for that prayers. Because if they tell you this is today, there is a delicious breakfast at 6:30. Would you wake up for it or not? You have to raise for that prayers. You have to stand before Allah. وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ, the recitation of the dawn. إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ. Indeed, this recitation is being observed carefully and especially observed by Allah. إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا. Or some people, when it comes to Dhuhr and Asr, they go and have lunch, they watch TV, they chat on the internet, they make their phone calls, they speak with their friends just 5 minutes before sunset. Oh, I have not done my prayers. Taking the prayers lightly. Imam al-Sadiq says, Listen to Imam al-Sadiq, your Imam, your master and your leader. Imam al-Sadiq says, لا تنال شفاعتنا يوم القيامة مستخفا بصلاته. Don't stand before me and tell me I was one of your followers, ya Imam, on the Day of Judgment. If you take your prayers lightly, lightly, let alone not praying, taking it lightly. Take care of your prayers. That person, the Prophet says, Al-mustakhifu bi salatihi, qabruhu muzlim, his grave is totally dark, yudayyaku alayhi fi qabrih, wa yukalu bihi malakun yuz'ijuhu fi qabrih. Allah will assign a special angel just to harass him and bother him inside his grave. Here in London, if you have a neighbor who is unconsiderate, who plays loud music, how do you feel about that? Can you sleep in the night? Imagine someone with you in the same hall, an angel assigned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to harass you, to bother you, to frighten you. يُزْعِجُهُ فِي قَبْرِهِ. Can you call 999? Come and help me with this angel, bad angel. Come and save me. This is inside the grave. Take care of your prayers from today. Your wudu, you have to learn the proper wudu. You have to learn the proper prayers. Prayers on time. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. When Allah speaks about the good qualities of the believers, He begins with the prayers and He ends with the prayers. Surah Al-Mu'minun. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Who offer their prayers in humbleness. And when he concludes this description, he says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسَ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. They take care of their prayers on time. It has to be priority. This is a speedy link to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need Him every minute. We need Him, brothers and sisters. We need Allah. We need Him. We can't stay away from Him. You need Him in the school. You need Him at house. You need Him when you are single. We need Him. You need Him when you get married, when you become father and mother. You need Allah. So be with Him. Allah says, just get close to me one step. I'll get close to you 99 steps. But I want to see the gesture from you. The genuine, the sincere gesture comes from you first. Show me. Show me you need me. I'll come fast to you. I'll run towards you. Allah is there. وَإِنَّكَ لَا تَحْتَجِبُ عَنْ خَلْقِكَ إِلَّا أَنْ تَحْجُبَهُمُ الْأَعْمَالُ دُونَكَ. We can see Allah. A man comes to Imam Ali. هَلْ رَأَيْتَ رَبَّكَ? Did you see your Lord? Imam Ali said, وَهَلْ أَعْبُدُ رَبًّا لَمْ أَرَهُ? Can I worship, get attached to a Lord that I don't see Him? I don't see Him with this limited physical disabled eyes. I see Him with this real vision here. Of course I see Him. The prophets and the imams, they can see Allah with their hearts. They can see the paradise, the grave, what happens. They can hear. We are limited. But things are available. We draw this curtain, this divider between us and Allah. وَإِنَّكَ لَا تَحْتَجِبُ عَنْ خَلْقِكَ. You do not conceal yourself from your creatures. It is they, your creatures, the sinners, their sinful acts creates a divider between you and them. إِلَّا أَن تَحْجُبَهُمُ الْأَعْمَالِ. It is through my deeds I bring this divider between me and Allah. It's my sinful deeds. Allah is merciful. Allah is available. Allah is available for me and you. But do we have this sincerity in the heart when we stand before Him? Even when we stand for the prayers. Where is my mind? Where is my thought? Where are my thoughts and mind and heart? Is it with Him or somewhere else? وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسَ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And then, Allah is merciful, of course. Do we have ways to ease and mitigate and reduce this punishment, this torment, this squeezing of the qabr? The Prophet says, yes. There are several ways. One, listen to them. In Laylatul Jumu'ah, such a night, tonight, one of the things that it is highly recommended is to perform two rak'ah of prayers in each, in every rak'ah. After Surah Al-Hamd, recite 15 times, Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. 15 times. That's a total of 30 times. It would not take more than 20 minutes, even 15 minutes sometimes. 15 minutes. The Prophet says, whoever regularly performs these prayers, خَفَّفَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَذَابَ الْقَبْرِ. Allah would reduce and maybe removes the torment of the grave. The distress, we will be beleaguered and distressed there. We have no access to the outer world. We may cry, shout, weep, plead. Nobody can hear us. Except our a'mal, our deeds. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. The other thing, the Hajj, the Prophet says, الحجاج يصدرون على عدة أصناف فأفضلهم من غفر له ذنبه ما تقدم منه وما تأخر ورفع عنه عذاب القبر. That is the best type of Hajj. The one who perform Hajj. People go with different rewards going back from Hajj. The Prophet says the best gift that you receive from Hajj is when your sins are completely erased. Number two, Allah removes the torment of the grave from you. Decides that this person, should he die and get buried, no torment shall touch him or touches him. وَرِفِعَ عَنْهُ عَذَابُ الْقَبْرِ. Hajj, brothers and sisters, Hajj. Try to go to Hajj. I know most of you are young here. You may tell me we are studying, we are a student. But still you can make it. If you make some saving, not necessarily to go and buy. At every time, at every occasion, we go and buy a new set of dress. Not important. Your value is not in your address. Your value is what is hidden here. Underneath the dress, the heart, the mind, the attitude. That is the real value. Save some money. Go to the Hajj. Some people say we go at a later age. I tell them, listen. If you decide to send someone to Disney World today, do you send him at the age of 15 or 70? Which age? 70? Do you send anyone to the Disney World at the age of 60 or 70? On a wheelchair? You send him at the age of 15 and 16 and 17 to enjoy this trip. I want you to enjoy the Hajj when you go young. When you walk yourself, when you understand, when you comprehend the meaning of tawaf and sa'i. Why we do the sa'i 7 times, going and coming back, running? Why? Are we crazy to run there? There is a philosophy. This is life. Ya ayyuhal insan, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqihi. You have a long road ahead of you. You have to struggle. You have to struggle. This is the struggle, resembling our struggle in this life until we reach the final destination, the Marwa. And then when you reach there, you cut off your hair. You exit from that struggle. We have to comprehend the philosophy. People who go in their late 70s and 80s, you know what happens to them? They don't know what they are doing. They are lost. Besides, people think that Hajj is only cure, remedy from the sin. Hajj is not a remedy. Hajj is a prevention from sin. Before you commit the sin, go to the Hajj. Hajj will prevent you. When you stand and look at the Kaaba and see 2 million people circumambulating around the house of God, you would wonder why I am here today. Who's this? What is my goal in this life? This is the philosophy of Hajj. The Prophet, let me conclude with this hadith. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم صلوا عليه بأعلى أصواتكم. روي عنه أنه قال ود من في القبور أن تكون له حجة واحدة من الدنيا وما فيها. من الدنيا وما فيها. Those who are buried, and we're going to join them soon. They wish that the only thing they get, they receive from this life, the entire life, is just the reward of a single trip to Mecca to Hajj. Imagine the reward of Hajj. Unimaginable. Unconceivable. Just one reward. Try to go to Hajj at a young age. I really encourage you. It's so easy for you to go to Hajj, to understand the philosophy. Decide tonight, say, Ya Imam Hussein, I have no money. And said, Mustafa is asking me to go to Hajj. I'll decide to save my money. And you will find by next year, inshallah, during the season of Hajj, you have the money and you will go to Hajj, inshallah. And I want that Hajj to transform your life. And should you be there, remember all the mu'mineen and remember me. Tonight, let's go into a new aspect of Ashura and Karbala. A new tragedy. A new painful event which took place, but not in the land of Karbala, in Medina. Traditionally, in these nights, we remember a very beloved daughter to Imam Hussein. Her name is Fatima, Fatima al-Alila. She was so frail and disabled, unable to walk, unable to move. And tonight we need to do tawassul to her. We ask Allah through her, this little girl who was left alone in Medina and her father departed for Iraq. We ask Allah through her to guide us, to give us guidance, to give us wisdom, to erase our sins, to get our heart even closer and closer to him and to his prophet and to the progeny of the prophet. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he was summoned by the governor of Medina to pay allegiance to Yazid, Imam Hussein left that session and he said conclusively and decisively, he said, no. No, very powerful no. I would never give my allegiance to this corrupt person. And then he decided to leave Medina. He came, the first thing he did, he went to the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was so attached to his grandfather. He would visit the grave several times a day. Sit there. At that time, there were access to the grave. Not just like today where they don't allow you to go close. He would go and sit next to the grave and speak to his grandfather. He came to his grave. He bid farewell to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he turned to the grave of his beloved mother, Fatima alayhi salam. Imam Hussein was so young when his mother was buried. And then he turned to the homes of Bani Hashim, the neighborhood of Bani Hashim, which used to be between the, even up to the 70s. I was a child when I went to Hajj and I saw the neighborhood of Bani Hashim between the grave of the Prophet, the shrine of the Prophet and the Baqiyah. Today they destroyed all the area there. It is the huge plaza. That used to be the neighborhood of Bani Hashim, where our imams and the family of the Prophet lived there for many centuries. He went to their homes and he bid farewell to each and everyone. Then he came to his house to gather his family, to collect the kids, and head to Mecca and from Mecca to Iraq. This little girl, Fatima, she realized that her father is leaving and she's disabled, she's unable to move. She came to her father, she said, Abatah, don't leave me here alone. I want to be with you. I know I am sick, I know I'm frail, I know I cannot move, but I beg you, my father, not to leave me here. You are taking the whole family. You are taking my brothers, my sisters, my siblings. I would have no one here to stay with. Imam turns to her and he says to her, "Sweetie Fatima, I know you are so attached to me, but you cannot move. And we have a long journey ahead of us. The road is so difficult. You cannot move. The road is very dangerous. And I fear for your safety. I fear for your life. I have no other choice other than leaving you here in Medina. You will stay with Salama." This is a very caring. Salama is the wife of Rasulullah. Very caring, nurturing mother. "And I will ask my brother Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah to take good care of you." She said, "No, father. I want to come with you. Don't leave me here. I don't know how long this journey would take. So even if I perish, let me come. Let me be one of your family who are going to experience this risk and this danger." Obviously, Imam Hussein refused to take her. Then, when she could not convince her father, she turned to the baby. She said, "Aba Abdullah, if I cannot join you and if you decide to leave me here, then leave me this baby boy." Who is the baby boy? Abdullah al-Radi'. He was only a few weeks old. He was born in Medina. He was taken to Mecca and then he reached Karbala, and after 8 days he was slaughtered in Karbala. In Medina he was only probably 3 or 4 weeks old. Maybe more. She said, "دعوا لي هذا الرضيع أتسلى به على فراقكم." "Oh my father, everybody is leaving me. At least I need a memory. Leave me this baby. I will take care of him. My brother Abdullah." Imam Hussein said to her, "Sweetie Fatima, إنه طفل رضيع تعلق بثدي أمه." This is a baby, as you see. He's attached to his mother. He needs a mother to feed him. "But I promise you, my sweetie daughter, I promise you, should I reach Iraq, and if we settle there peacefully, then I promise you, I pledge to you, if people receive us well, and we settle in Iraq, in Kufa, I will send my brother Ali ibn al-Akbar to come from Kufa to Medina to take you and bring you back to us. We will have a family reunion." She was so sad. This scene of farewell, heartbreaking scene, very painful scene. The caravan left. Fatima was standing there. صاحت صوت يا ابو ياخذوني يا ابو يا حسين وياكم اخذوني وحيده وهم عليلة تخلوني وحيده وهم عليلة تخلوني وفقدكم يا اخوتي العلة جمال صاحت صايحت بو ياخذوني وياكم اسرج الخيل واحط فراشكم لو جلجل الليل يا واحط فراشكم لو يا جلجل الليل. The caravan left for Mecca and then from Mecca to Iraq. Fatima used to come every single day when her uncle Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah comes to visit her. She tells him, "Ya am, hal laka khabarun min ahli fil Iraq? Do you have any news about my family? Are they safe? My brother, my brothers, my father, are they safe? Did the people of Iraq receive them well? Are they happy there?" Muhammad tells her, "I have no news about them yet. We are waiting for the news to come." The story tells us that on the day of Ashura, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was left alone in the battlefield, everybody was murdered, his companions, his brothers, his children. He was standing before he embarked on the last journey. He sees a man rushing from the direction of Medina to him on a horse. He arrived, he gave a piece of paper to the Imam. Imam opens that piece of paper. It's a letter. Imam looks at that letter. Suddenly Zainab sees her brother burst in tears. He comes to the tent. Aba Abdullah, ما الخبر؟ قال أختاه ورد الخطاب وعظم المصاب. This is a very sad news. This is a letter from my daughter Fatima. Fatima, who's alone in Medina, she's asking, تسألني عن عمها العباس وهي لا تعلم أنه على المشرع وعن أخيها علي الأكبر وأنها لا تعلم أنه مقطع بالسيوف وتسألني عن عبد الله الرضيع. She's asking about her uncle. What happened to him, to Abbas? What happened to Ali al-Akbar? What happened to the little baby boy? Is he safe? Is he okay? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. She kept asking and asking and asking until one day she woke up in the morning. Bishr ibn Hadlam enters the city of Medina. يا أهل يثريب لا مقام لكم بها لا مقام لكم بها. She goes, she tells the woman to carry her to go and ask him. She receives no news until suddenly the door is opened and she sees her auntie عم زينب, زينب عليها السلام. صديت لنعمتي على الباب حزينة وعليها سود الثياب حزينة وعليها سود الثياب ناديت عم شنه الأسباب أشوفك وحيدة وين الأحباب يا أشوفك وحيدة ويا الأحباب أحم الضايعات بعدك ضعنا في يد النائبات. Brothers and sisters, please, I want you to remain for the lamentation of Imam Hussein. It's only a few nights. Next week, Thursday, next week will be the eve of Ashura. Ashura is gone. This season is over. We want to show our sympathy and empathy with Rasulullah first. وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Stay for the lamentation, for the latmiya, please, and raise your hand for the dua. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. 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 يا الله, اللهم يا كاشف كرب المكروبين ويا رافع هم المحرومين, اللهم اكشف هذه الغمة عن هذه الأمة, اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين, اللهم اجعل كلمة الإسلام هي العليا وكلمة أعداء الدين هي السفلى, اللهم أرنا الحق حقا فنتبع والباطل باطلا فنجتنب. Let's read this dua, recite this dua for our imam, for our leader, the 12 imam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma kun li, together. Allahumma kun li waliyika al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan salawatuka alayhi wa ala abaihi fi hadhihi as-sa'ati wa fi kulli sa'ah waliyan wa hafiza وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. واجعلنا اللهم من أنصاره وأعوانه. In this session, brothers, I was told, and sisters, I was told that they need your financial contribution to sustain these sessions and the other activities of Ahlul Bayt Foundation. They need your financial help. When we give them money, we are cleansing our hearts. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً. Sadaqa here is charity. It's not just the thing that you give to the poor. Any charity for the sake of Allah. صَدَقَةً تُطَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. One of the strongest means of purification, refinement, is to pay generously to the Islamic cause. So remember that. May Allah bless you all. وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء نهدي للجميع ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.